You know, it's no secret that you've had a combative relationship with Trump in the past, but lately you've been praising him for the help he's giving. Well, of course, you have to, because look at how he treats governors who don't, you know, kiss his ring. The governor of Washington, the governor of Michigan, he said they were not appreciative and told Mike Pence, don't call them back. You know, do you feel like you have to feed this guy's ego to get the respirators and to get the PPEs? Is that what's going on?
Well, let me just acknowledge the frame of your question. We're involved in over 68 lawsuits with the Trump administration. And so there's no question we have had our differences of opinion on many issues. But I just want to remind you and maybe others that are not aware of this. We've been at this since late January. California got a head start in many respects where no one was really paying much attention. We started working with the administration directly to get these repatriated flights from mainland China into the state of California. Many states turned their back on those flights and those repatriation missions. California embraced them. We also had that Grand Princess, that large cruise ship, where we worked very collaboratively with the federal government, developed strong relationships of trust around the emergency plan and how we can bring those passengers back into our diverse communities and all across the rest of the country. As a consequence of that, our relationship began earlier than most. And so from that perspective, all I can say is, from my perspective, the relationship has been strong, and I'm not doing it to kiss the ring. I'm not doing it in a way, you know, that I've just been forthright with the president. He returns calls. He reaches out. He's been proactive. We got that mercy ship down here in Los Angeles. That was directly because he sent it down here. 2,000 medical units came to the state of California, these FMS, these field medical stations. And that's been very, very helpful. And to the extent we're going to need more, we will. And I'll let you know in a few weeks if that relationship continues.
Glad you're with us. 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of this extravaganza. You know, there's an adult and there's somebody that has put aside politics. 68 lawsuits they have going on against the Trump administration. But no, we're working really well together, and everything we've needed they've given us. Very different than the ventilator rejector, the ill-prepared governor of New York, Cuomo. And I mean, if there's anybody worse than him, if it's possible, that would be, of course, Gavin Newsom. You know, you go to page 30. I have the guides. It is unbelievable. Ventilator allocation guidelines, November 2015, New York Task Force on Life and Law, New York Department of Health. Got the whole document right in front of me. And guess what happened? Yeah, they said, no, you're shy, 16,000 ventilators. What is Cuomo's answer? Well, we're shy 16. Well, just why don't we just go back and figure out how we can ration the 2,000 that we have? You know, then you've got the Navy hospital ship, the Comfort, now in New York Harbor. You've got the Javits Center. You know how many? You know how big 3,000 beds is at the Javits Center? Yeah, the Army Corps of Engineers built that for Andrew. He just goes for those photo ops, just like he went to the USNS Comfort for a photo op. Then the hospitals in Nassau County, Suffolk County, Westchester County, and we do have 49 other states and 100 hospitals now being built around the country. And, you know, it's the finger pointing and the insanity. How a state like New York, that is ground zero potential for any pandemic. It makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, you have something highly contagious, infectious. And we have pandemics from time to time, and you have the highest concentration of people, 10 million, 11 million at times, in the smallest geographical area. They didn't even have gowns and gloves and masks or anything, never mind the ventilators that he rejected buying, even though his health task force on life and law from the Department of Health said you need them if there's a pandemic. They actually said that. It's sad. It's pathetic. And I'm not a big fan of Gavin Newsom's politics, but I got to give him credit here. You know, I've been trying to stand back, and we have our Facts Without Fear segment coming up. Another couple of announcements here. One is Dr. Oz is going to be taking your calls in our second hour of this program. That's 1 hour from now. After the news at 4 o'clock, he will take your questions, your calls. We'll update you. There's a lot of news on hydroxychloroquine. I mean, a lot. And, you know, then you have the media mob, and we have the worst of the worst, and it's the same predictable people, the mob and the media, and the Democratic Party, that in the middle of a national emergency, they want an investigation. It's breathtaking. The same Democrats that held up aid for hospitals, for working Americans, for small businesses and big businesses because they were fighting to change election laws and fighting for new immigration laws that favored them and fighting to fund the Kennedy Center and the National Endowment for the Humanities and the National Endowment for the Arts, $75 million each, $25 million for the Kennedy Center that ended up firing all their employees anyway. And it is breathtaking, spectacular fail before your eyes, and the worst of the worst when the country needed people the most. And then the mob and the media, they don't even want to carry the president's press conferences. And their flimsy excuses, we're not getting the truth. Yeah, Americans are getting the truth, and they're getting daily updates that they vital information that they and their families need in the middle of a national emergency. So it's all the predictable people. Government of India has endorsed hydroxychloroquine as a preventative, prophylactic. Now, the person that has been telling you this more than anyone has been Dr. Oz, and he's pointing out anecdotally, we'd all love big clinical studies, sure. Problem is they take years. It'll take at least a year. We don't have time when lives are on the line. And those that are stuck in this old myopic way of thinking, you know, the times call for new rules. And it's like we're watching the new rules unfold in front of us on a whole variety of issues. I mean, the Michigan governor is out there, you know, first, you know, saying, no, we can't have hydroxychloroquine. And, you know, then has to backtrack saying it shows great potential. A little late. Finally, the New York Times, they were pounding me for bringing up hydroxychloroquine and saying, well, let me tell you what I'm seeing. Let me tell you what I learned. Let me tell you what I studied. And I got the crap beat out of me. Well, now the New York Times is saying, yeah, there might be something to this. And they were all beating up the president for it. You know, I think Dr. Fauci is part of that older model. I mean, he wants numbers. He wants studies. They have 6,000 doctors polled saying this is the best treatment we see. Everything I've read, the risks seem minimal to me. Ask your doctor. And those that are taking it, we are now anecdotally seeing example after example that it's working. The death predictions are being pulled back, so we'll get to that too. We're watching new hotspots emerge like our Michigan, Connecticut, Florida, Indiana, Louisiana. We'll have a lot on the medical side of our Facts Without Fear coming up with Dr. Oz, but he's going to be taking your calls. We're also going to look at, you know, we can have the cure be worse than the disease, meaning, okay, we've got to be very, very careful how we spend the money. But I've been trying to stand back and say everything we're witnessing now, the old book has been torn up as it relates to pandemics. A new paradigm has been created before our very eyes. These are transformational times. Never before as a president, 10 days after the first known case in the U.S., implemented a travel ban and then quarantine and was called racist, xenophobic, and fear-monger and hysterical. Nobody in the Democratic Party supported it. Then we have this public-private partnership. And then all of these great American companies, all hands on deck. And, you know, the Defense Procurement Act, not even really needed except for a few instances, one being with 3M, which we'll talk about, and GM moving faster as it relates to ventilators. But we're getting it done. It's happening. And you see the best in people. You see the best in American, you know, all big box stores, all drug stores, all pharmaceutical companies. Novartis, 130 million doses of hydroxychloroquine. Getting rid of draconian FDA regulations, off use of hydroxychloroquine, and compassionate use, and right to try. This is all transformative. Pat Buchanan had an interesting, I mean, a column we should pay attention to. When it's all over, will we be the same America? I mean, he really raises, you know, a lot of important questions here that we've got to pay attention to. Not the least of which is when these numbers come in terms of the economy, You know, how quickly can we get the economy up and running? One of the reasons I keep using the analogy about the Michael Crichton book Disclosure and then the movie with Demi Moore and Michael Douglas and the cryptic emails Michael Douglas was getting solved the problem. If hydroxychloroquine solves the problem of people dying, it's not an answer. We have already been able to undo the sequence of this virus in record time. So clinical trials, phase one trials are now underway as relates to a vaccine. But if you can stop the death and treat it so people don't die and mitigate the expansion of this, that gets us over the hump and right back into life as normal and gets every business up and running and Americans back to work. That is the ideal situation. And you know, in terms of transformational times, I mean, you know, it's now April the 3rd. What were we doing a month ago? March 3rd was Super Tuesday. We weren't all focused on Corona like we are today. That's just a fact. You know, what a difference a month can make, Pat Buchanan wrote. You know, and then he talks about the Republican Party and the money, the $2 trillion emergency bill and $4 trillion that the Fed is loosening up for loans and, you know, and an enormous amount of money. That's why I'm saying, whoa, hit the pause button. People already said, well, maybe we need another $2 trillion for the infrastructure bill. Let's see how the first $2 trillion works. Slow down. Hit the brakes. Let's take care of displaced American workers. Let's make sure the monies are there for hospital frontline defenders that are risking their lives for everybody. Make sure we have the ventilators built and every bit of equipment we need. And then the real answer and antidote is getting America back to normal life as quickly and as safely as possible. And, you know, I don't think people are going to call travel bans xenophobic in the future. I don't hear Democrats saying it now. I think every Democrat needs to be asked in retrospect, did Donald Trump do the right thing? I think every Democrat that held up money for hospitals and workers and small business and big business for a week, they need to answer for their conduct. Those in the middle of a national emergency that are, you know, out there saying we need to start an investigation now. I mean, are we going to hold them accountable for their conduct? The mob and the media that doesn't want a president of the United States to communicate with the American people in a national emergency. I mean, you talk about malpractice, dereliction of duty, an utter epic fail. Well, that's not even surprising, sadly, after the 3 years we've seen of them. You know, now you watch Democrats wanting the president to take on powers that it's like, really? You sure you want that? You know, it's First Amendment free press champions we have, you know, in the media. Well, they don't want to carry the press. He looks too presidential. Is that the problem? Is it political as always? Anyway, it's, you know, it's amazing moments here. And, you know, one of the things Buchanan asked, are Americans going to care in the future about the Iranian-backed Shiites dominating Iraq or the Saudi-backed Sunni a Muslim community prevailing in Yemen? Are they going to care about what happens in the, you know, are we going to rely on Chinese-made goods and even pharmaceuticals in the future? Do you think it's a good idea to release all these criminals? I mean, we're not even thinking about some of these things, and they're just acting irrationally. We've got to really pay attention to what we're doing now.